Well, this is our time. This is our time together. It's our time together, and all across this city, there are thousands who are meeting as well for the same purpose as we are. In fact, all around the country, all around the globe, in fact, there's no time in which people are not praising God, praying to God, and living in community with each other globally. But this is our time together. So if you have concerns about your roast, or concerned about what you're doing next, just let it go. Enjoy our time together. And let God share his truth into your life to teach you and lead you. We gather together and we do so remembering those who have come before us. Those people who have invested into our lives, our mentor, 2,000 years of Christ followers who have invested into the church and who continue to do so. Those people who gathered together, whose memory and contribution and lives who live on. I could mention names, but each one of us have mentors, Christian mentors who have been profound in our lives. And we also meet together mindful of those children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren who will love him and who will wrestle with this great truth that we've been challenged with, that God sent his son to live amongst us, to die for us, to save us, and pay the price so that we can go and live with him one day. What a great opportunity we have this morning. This is our time to be together and let God's truth impact our life. And of course, as we do so in community. When we think about community together, of course, the Church of Jesus Christ is a global community. It's fascinating. I know some of you have done this in Rwanda or in Kenya or in other parts of the world. You walk into a church in which people are not speaking the same language as you, and you sit down with them, and something inside of you says, yes, these are my people I'm among. I was in Thailand, went to a Thai church, didn't understand anything they were saying to me, and I felt grace and mercy and peace with those people of God. So all around the world, you're connected in community to them. And I would be a very short-sighted pastor if I would say, no, this is our community. And we have a special place in heaven that's reserved for us. Please. I don't want to just visit the Fallingbrook Heights Baptist section of heaven. I've heard other parts of heaven that I want to go visit as well. We think in those terms on earth, but in heaven it's going to be magnificent being together. But here we are. And our community of faith, we as we gather together in community, of course, you can think in pictures. People you saw this morning. People you haven't maybe seen for a while and saw their faces and said, how are you doing? It's good to see you again. That's one way of understanding our community together is seeing the picture of who we are and even here this picture of us, our family, our church family. And as we understand who we are in Christ, we can also understand it in terms of using a bit of an analogy in terms of where we are in life and what has impacted us in terms of education, parentage, individuality, and career. We've talked about this for a few weeks. This is some of the drivers that are that impact our life. I've put it into an insert in your bulletin. And these things in our lives set us apart so we are a little different. You're probably sitting around people who are a different age and stage in your life. Maybe you're wondering, how are they doing in that age and stage of their life? Well, I wanted to, for a few weeks, pursue this understanding of where we are in our stage. So if you look at this chart just briefly, you can see where you are. And in fact, as we'll look at next week, perhaps some of you here are in transition. And you're between those spots. Perhaps you're at the place whereby you've left university and college and are waiting to see what you'll do in your career. You're in transition. Perhaps you're at the place where you're anticipating retirement. You're at that place where you're by a late career pre-retiree. I see that smile on your face, Brian. And you're at the place whereby you want to be an early retiree. The transition's coming. Put smiles on our face. So we can understand where we are in community, but I wanted to do this, especially because in my previous careers and what I've done, there is a understanding in terms of what impacts us in life, and we need to be wise about the age and stage that we're in to understand who we are, but also from a church perspective to have the blinders off to be able to love someone who's in a different age and stage than us. That's what church is about. It goes past those limitations. So I wanted to share a few stats with you. Did you know that Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church at the center is diverse in many ways. We are diverse in ages and stages, of course. We are diverse in experience and origins. Do you know that we are, our home countries are America and Bangladesh and China and England and Guyana and Honduras and India and Ireland and Iran and Italy and Jamaica and Sri Lanka and Scotland and Trinidad and Ukraine and Vietnam and Wales and other places. 16 different places where we can find our origins, which impact us in terms of how we understand life. Did you know that in our community of faith, our family of faith, that one quarter is under age 16? That another half are members, and the other 25% are not? Did you know that in our community, that our young at heart, our retirees, those who have retired span mid-60s through to 100 years old. And the average age of that category, early retiree and young at heart, is 81 years old. These people amongst us, our young at heart retirees, seniors, grandparents, have the highest attendance of all categories. And let me just say this. On Sunday mornings when I greet you and interact with you, our young at heart are some of the most positive people on Sunday morning coming in to celebrate together. So today, as we've been through the dynamics of various stages in life, and we've talked about smart pre-tirees before they get into working, we've talked about busy managers, those people who have opportunity and responsibility and sometimes overwhelmed with life. We've talked about free influencers, that stage in life in which your maturity, your expertise, your time allows you to invest in others around you. Today we're looking at grand retirees. What I would say is a time of reflection and wisdom as they share it with us. So I wanted to first take a look at this chart that I provided for you. It's in your bulletins, but I'll also just have it here on the screen. Because I believe, and this is just a rudimentary draft, sample understanding of where we are in community and different dynamics that I focused on. And those dynamics, I just wanted to share with you briefly, because in these four stages, which I hope you can identify yourself in one of those four stages, on the left-hand side, being a smart pre-tiree, a busy manager, free influencer, or a grand retiree, there's these dynamics across the top, the age, the general age that you're at when you're in this stage. We've talked about transitions, time, education, parentage, independence or interests, what's happening in your career, church focus, and need, greatest need, love plus, and then we've taken a look at that. So I just wanted to focus on a few things for you and let you, after I share some of these, reflect a little bit. Share with me what your perspectives are. This is something that we learn at together. Let me just focus in particular, though. Let me first take a look at smart pre-tirees. And let me look at three areas. I want to look at their interest, their church focus, and their need. Okay? Smart pre-tirees, most of who are down in the room to the right. Most of these, when we look at their independence or their interest, what they're focused on is fun. Now, some of you maybe don't like the word fun. It's been a long time since you've really dove into fun. So I'm just going to say another alternative. If you perhaps think fun is frivolous, let me just say to you that perhaps you want to say willing engagement as a substitute for fun, or happy effort, or risky attempt to learn, innovative beauty. Because fun as a concept, when it's truly understood, I believe is one of the greatest things in our life to encourage us to be ourselves and try things out. Of which, as we get older, at least I see in myself, I'm less willing to try things out. But really, isn't that what kids are doing when they're having fun? Trying things out. Their independent interest, fun. As a church, what do we? How do we impact, how do we interact with this group of people? Of course, it's very diverse, 0 to 22, 23. Well, I believe that we encourage them Because after all, they're not refined in understanding who they are, what they want to do. Encouraging them to have fun, but also to become the people God wants them to be. Secondly, accepting them for who they are. It's, I think, a great challenge for us as a church to do this well. What do they need? Well, they need love. God commands us to love each other, encourages us, draws us into loving each other. But I also believe, Don mentioned it earlier, they need safety in terms of making sure that at the age that they're at, that they are within bounds of being protected in many different ways. We can hurt them with our words. Would you be quiet, please? That's not safety. Mentorship is also something that you can't help but do. If you're with them and you're around them, you're going to mentor them. How do I see this or how do I know this? One day, about a year ago, Alex Ng was going off to gym. And I was thinking about mentorship that Sunday. I'm not sure why, but thinking about mentorship. And Alex Ng reached to the hand of a boy that was a little shy and newer to the community and held onto his hand and said, "Come on, let's go to gym." He was being a mentor. He knew it. Not perhaps intentionally, but he knew how to do it because it's inside of us to be mentors. In fact, let me say this. You can't help be a mentor, and you'll either be a good mentor or a bad mentor. The only thing you can do if you don't want to do mentorship is just avoid everyone. But you're a mentor. You can't help it. Okay, let's move on and look at busy managers. Busy managers, as we talked about this before, what is their independence or their interest? Survival. If I can only get through this, if I can get to the next level, if I can get some time. Busy managers. Survival is one of the drivers or their interest because of what they're doing. I believe that at this stage we have a lot to learn. I'm at this stage myself, and when I'm honest with myself, I have a lot to learn. And discipleship, followership of Jesus Christ. What do they need? Talked about various things, but I believe that balance and peace, contentment, especially in this crazy city we live in, there's hundreds of choices that you can get engaged in until you're so exhausted and so worn out that you're not you anymore. You need balance. Ability to say no. Ability to say yes. And peace. Free influencer, we talked about this last week. Free influencers, interesting time in life in which they have influence, as you could expect. A time in life in which if they've been active and busy, as the previous stage suggests, they have relationships that are pretty deep, typically. They have people that they're connected with, their children, their parents, their family members. And it's almost like you can't help but influence those around you. We talked about mentorship earlier. What do I believe is the opportunity for you, the church focus, so to speak, is leadership. Leadership and contribution. You have it to give. I believe it will fulfill you greatly to give. Not at that stage yet myself, but I humbly suggest that by understanding the balance that you've hopefully learned and the peace in your life that you've been able to receive, to then say, I want to lead and I want to contribute in the way that I am. What do they need? Love and discernment. What's next? What does this retirement look like? What am I to do with my time? How do I help my children as they grow and develop? How do I support my parents as they age? We are discerning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So let's carry on this morning and think about grand retirees. Our grand retirees. Typically, based on Canadian demographics, they're 71 plus. In terms of transitions that they face, income management and residency change is a couple of transitions. I'll welcome your perspectives. What's their time like? I believe that education is a personal thing. I think of Don Stewart, his desire to continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and he had a study Bible. His education was personal. It was passive, you could say. Parentage. you typically no longer have parents you're caring for, and you're receiving care from your children and your grandchildren. Influence towards the generations that follow is profound. And church focus, I believe, is security, assurance, and hope. Let me just share with you a couple of perspectives that I have. In terms of time, typically in Canada, some of the studies have said that you find that when you're in that age of 71 plus, that time becomes excessive at time. Time becomes excessive, in which you have to find things to keep your time busy. This has changed over the last number of generations with technology. But some people say that you have excess time. In terms of independent and interest, one of the things that's reflected on is a legacy. What you're investing. The value, because what I found as a financial planner is that when you get to this stage, you have a new understanding of money. And the new understanding of money typically goes something like this. I've seen it all. I've traveled. I've enjoyed my family. I have enough to get me by or more than I need. And it's not really any more about how big my RSP is. It's more about how my money and my life has impacted others around me and the value of that, because I know I can't take it with me. Interests often at this stage in life is travel. It's no longer career. It's no longer education. Kids and grandchildren are generally on their own tracks. Travel is often something that's a driver. Careers, no longer is career something that's important. Your career often turns into legacy. What does this group need? First of all, let me say this. You are an incredibly important part of our community. At your stage in life, I know that the world doesn't often communicate this very well, but I am so blessed that there is 25% of our church community that are young at heart seniors. Because there is a wealth of experience and wisdom that we are learning and have learned and want to learn from you, because we haven't lived it yet if we're less of an age than that. We need to listen to you and we need to hear your stories. But we also, I believe, as a church, need to give affirmation of the value, because oftentimes at people's latter years, youth-oriented culture that we're in, the sense of their value is declining by cultural standards. May Hulse has lived 100 years. She's experienced things, read headlines, interacted with people that none of us have. All of us know people, if you think about it, all of us know people who did not handle old age very well. My great-grandfather was a crotchety old man. By his own statement. He was a dedicated Christian man, but he loved gremlin. And all of us know people who retire well and who say goodbye to things they can no longer do, and who live well within the things they can. Janet's grandma, Nancy's mother, retired well. In terms of as she aged, her limitations, she got the grace from God to be able to handle them. Wow, what a prayer. God, give us grace to handle our decline. Let me just carry on here, because there's truth in the word in Jude's letter that I want to focus on in terms of grand retirees. Jude says some interesting things. Let me just read this for you. To those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father, kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, certain individuals have slipped in among you, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone, to convict all of them and the ungodly acts they've committed. But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Who are you, grand retirees? You are people who have been called. Even if you're here first thing this morning, you're called. Called by God. You are called. You are loved in God the Father. You are kept for Jesus Christ. Mercy and peace and love is yours in abundance. You are friends of God. That's who you are. But you know better than any of the rest of us that the world is in a mess and that people amongst us secretly slip in everywhere into our culture, into our society, into our lives, into our hearts, into the church. These people have secretly slipped in. It's ungodliness we're facing. It's a perversion of the grace of God into a license for immorality. It's a denial of Jesus Christ as our only sovereign Lord. You know too well that this world has evil and goodness in it. You've seen it more than any of us. And that's what Jude says. But he goes on and gives real examples. What is the example he gives to us? Well, he teaches us by saying Cain in Genesis 4 was so jealous of his brother that he killed him. And it's happening today. Oh, yeah, maybe not on your street. People are killing their brothers and sisters. But there's a lot of dysfunctionality in families simply out of jealousy. It's gone on for years. Cain's heir, Jude says. False prophet Balaam, this is found in Numbers 22. What was he doing? He was using his spirituality and his leadership to curse people and to make money during it. You say, well, that's kind of a strange example. You know in your experience, grand retirees, that scandals have rocked the church because people have been greedy. It's been a stain. Korah is referenced by Jude. This is Numbers 16. Korah, in the midst of Moses' leadership, they're halfway through the desert. Moses is leading them through the desert, and Korah says, hey, what about me? I could be a leader. And he collects people together, and he pridefully and arrogantly exalts himself to grasp power from God and to move Moses out of the way. Jude says, this is prideful arrogance that does not follow the Lord in terms of his leadership. And he gives us those examples. In the mess of our world, in the 70, 80, 90 years that you've lived, what are we to do? What do we look forward to, the rest of us that follow you? What do we look forward to in terms of what we're supposed to do when we're in the grand retiree stage? Well, Jude tells us. He says, God's coming back. The Lord is coming. Verse 14, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to convict people of ungodliness. We're in this text. You can find yourself. He says, what are we to do? Build ourselves up in the most holy faith. We have the capability to build ourselves up. We have the ability to pray in the Holy Spirit. We are encouraged to keep ourselves in God's love as we wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. It could happen just like that in just a moment. It's coming. We're to build ourselves up. What do you say, Ken? How do I do that? How do I practically do that day by day as a grand retiree or one that's going to be there some years? How do I do that? Well, I wanted to reference a couple of articles. As I've done in the last few weeks, I want to reference these articles in terms of focusing on what to do. First one is an article from the New York Times. This is John Dickerson, The Decline of Evangelical America. John Dickerson's grandfather prayed with Ronald Reagan. His father prayed with George Bush. And he writes this article as a 30-year-old pastor about what's happening in the United States. I'll just summarize a bit of what he said. John Dickerson said, evangelicalism, the belief that Jesus Christ is Lord and his grace extends to everyone who is willing to accept it. Evangelicalism as we knew it in the 20th century is disintegrating. In coming years, we will see the old evangelicalism whimper and wane. He talked about political and moral changes in the States. Sadly, in Canada, we're actually ahead of them. You compare the evangelical church in Canada to the evangelical church in the United States, we're ahead of them. They're entering into what we entered into a number of years ago. Sadly. He makes a reflection at the end in this article to say this is a decline of us sharing the message of Jesus Christ. He ends with a very interesting conclusion. The deterioration and disarray of the movement. In our context, the sale of a church and move to a community center, if you want to see where we're at. The deterioration and disarray of the movement is a source of hope. Hope that churches will stop angling for human power and start proclaiming the power of Christ. Simple faith in Christ's sacrifice will march on unchallenged by the empire and the ears. English writer G.K. Chesterton put it this way, Christianity has died many times and risen again, for it knew a God who knew the way out of the grave. That's pretty powerful. Second article I want to mention is this one. One of the churches that's struggling with this evangelical decline, both in the United States and Canada, is the Mennonite Brethren Church. Interesting article in the Mennonite Brethren Herald. 5 enduring gifts seniors give the church. Fascinating, this young person, let me share as well too. Kevin Kerrigan. He's the interim pastor of youth and young adults, Culloden Mennonite Brethren Church in Vancouver. He says, 5 things that our grand retirees give us we need to be mindful of. He says, the church needs young people to survive, but it needs old people to thrive. These are the gifts I've received from Nana, my wife's octogenarian grandmother, who is the energy of people half her age and uses it for the work of the kingdom through her local church and missions. What are the 5 things? Number 1, prayer. Kevin writes, James 5:16 tells us the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective at any age. Number 2, excitement. The optimism of seniors about what God is doing is contagious. That's what I see on Sunday mornings often. Number 3, welcome. Older people who know my name, ask how I'm doing, or take an interest in me, make church more irresistible than any ministry program or evangelism technique could. Did you realize that when people walk in and you greet them, grand retirees, that you're doing something far more profound than other things we're doing in the church? Your greeting is that powerful, he says. Equipping. When older saints share their stories, they gracefully pepper us with nuggets of wisdom mined through experience. There's an old pilot's adage that says, learn from others, you'll never live long enough to make all your own mistakes. Shows a plane stuck in a tree. If you're wise, free influencer, busy managers, smart pre-tirees, if you're wise, you'll look to these people around you who are in the grand retiree stage and say, how did you handle this part of what you were doing? Just tell me about it. And they will share with you something that's valuable. Number 5, blessing. When older members release a new generation to present the message of Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in a new way, in a fresh way, blessings flow in all directions. Many of you grand retirees know that the church needs to survive. It's part of your heart, part of your legacy, more than the rest of us do. And I know I can see it sometimes in your eyes when you look at those younger members of our church. I think part of it's the fact that you can see in them the continuing growth or survival of the church in the future. I hope you can see that. So let me share these with you. Number 1, what would I like you to do? Grand retirees, what would you like to do with us? I want you to dream. I want you to dream of a church equipped, on fire to share. Restoration. Dream restoration with us. People at peace with each other in Christian love. Dream with us redemption, Christ's ultimate salvation transformation. Imagine Christ returning in your lifetime. Dream about that. Dream about it with us. We've talked about in our vision, our 5 vision, of having friends in fellowship, people that encourage you along your faith. Dream with us people who join us every year based on our capacity to love them and support for what we're doing. Number two, tell your unique stories of faith and provision and love. No one in this congregation, in fact, no one in this world, has lived the life that you've lived, experienced the experiences that you've lived, and we're blessed by knowing you and by learning about your experiences. Share it with us. Number four, invest like a legacy investment. Invest ability, assets, and attention into your legacy. As a financial planner, I sat down, worked with people in the financial investment of what they had. Think about it. People took their abilities and their talents and put it through this thing called work, and out came money. And then they took that money and then they asked me, where should I invest it in order to keep the value? You can't invest it anywhere to keep the value. The value is in your talent and abilities being expressed at work. You'll never have that again. They paid you what they paid you, but to find another place to invest it, you can't. Money is a terrible way to transfer wealth when you talk about true wealth. So, grand retirees, your best investment is to invest your assets, your attention, your ability into life-giving church and community that grows the love of Jesus Christ. You know that better than most of us. Money gets tired. Investing yourself is where real wealth is. Last one. Pray. Use your experience and your wisdom and your time to lift us up. This has been done many ways in this community over a number of years. If you find a certain affinity to a child in this community, pray for them. Remember them every time you pray. I know there's people in this community who are grand retirees who pray for each and every one of you every day. That's incredible. Invest this, pray your experience, wisdom, and time to lift us up. I know it's challenging at times. I know sometimes we don't want to listen to you. But the truth is, we grow knowing you, your experience, and your time. We gather together in community and we seek to understand each other and to grow. And so this is what I'd like us to do. This is how I'd like us to end. I'd like all of you who are not grand retirees to stand up. So if you're under age 71, please stand up. When I was first graduating from seminary, I was got involved in an opportunity to share with some seniors. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it because I felt it was a waste of my time. Holy Spirit gave me a picture, a lesson, and this is what God said to me. These people that you're ministering will be in front of me sooner than you will. Now, we can't predict life longevity, but many of our grand retirees will see Jesus Christ before you do. So I'd like us to bless them. I'd like us to bless them by saying this last two verses, 24 and 25, to them. So can we say this together? To them. Let's say it together. To him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.